Welcome back, everybody, to Beards and Brews. Tonight's review is going to be on Critters 2, the main course. Speaking of main course, we have quite the brew selection. Chandler?
I've actually brought six different critters with us, six different beers that we're going to be talking about tonight. We've got Veltins Pilsner. We've got a classic Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, another German classic Weinstephaner's Hefe Weiss beer. We've got Dogfish Head's Sequench Ale. We have Old Chub by Oscar Blues Brewing Company. And finally, we've got a Belgian classic, the Westmalle Trappist Ale Double.
The fact that you could even say that impresses me, all right?
I've had practice.
That was an amazing monologue. So, let's dig on to number one, which is...
This is Veltins Pilsner. It's a German Pilsner, which the Pilsner's what most Americans know as their standard beer. This is sort of what the Americans have bastardized to become their standard.
Those damn Americans.
What do you think?
Yeah, you're right. It's like a standard beer. There's just straight in the middle of the road. Yep, that's beer.
Pretty much here, you've got your barley, your hops, your yeast, and your water, and nothing fancy about that.
Brady, what'd you think?
You know me. I like beer with my brews. it reminds me of late middle school.
What were you doing in middle school?
We got some junk beer from the fridge that no one's going to miss.
The beer-branded beer.
Yeah, just beer. Not a fan of this one.
Yeah, this is...
It's just... I don't even want to call it passable. It's just, like, it's beer.
Yeah, this is fine to me. Like, to my, I guess, knowledgeable palate. You've got your bready, sort of toasty flavor. Very little hops. Which, there's more hops here, admittedly, than pretty much any of your standard American beers. Your Pabst, your Budweiser, whatever.
Let's hops right on over to Critters 2, the main course.
This is the first time we're doing a sequel, so I guess a little bit of history. 2 years prior to the events of Critters 2, we have, of course, Critters 1. We're in the same town, a bunch of wacky...
Space porcupines.
They're like really angry tribbles from Star Trek. They come in, eat up the town, and they, get rid of them, I guess.
They get rid of them.
I did not see the first one, so maybe they got rid of them. Maybe they didn't. Who knows?
As someone...
Spoilers, they didn't get rid of them.
All right.
So we pick it up with the logo scene, and it's got that fun little music that it has, and it shows Critters 2. And then crunch, crunch, crunch. Three little bites are taken out of it. Watching this, I chuckled more than I probably should have at just the lame little logo being.
Oh, it's cute. This movie doesn't take itself seriously a single iota. So have those little childish sounds make it fun.
Yeah, it was definitely good times with that. We pick it up, boom, with the main hero of the story from Bounty Hunter's perspective. BDSM gear clad Chark.
Oh yeah.
And that's where you would just insert canned laughter. This dude is the former town drunk turned hero. This character has got to be modeled off of the main hero from Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. The fella with the parachute hanging out and the sword.
Ooh, that's a reference.
See, if I didn't know that he was the town drunk, I would have expected town nerd. Like, he looks like the guy who would just spend his days down at the quarter shop playing some D&D and, no offense.
The kind of guy that probably stares a little bit too long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, Charlie, he's doing his thing. He's going around. You get introduced to their employer that looks like a space testicle. It reminded me of the Time episode of Rick and Morty, whenever the testicle came back to get him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that, but a little more hammy.
Yeah, it was definitely like an intergalactic lima bean.
So this thing informs the bounty hunters that they need to return back to Grover's Bend to kill more Krites. And we get introduced to Bradley. And Bradley Brown
evidently
is in fact,
he's back in town.
He is in fact back in town. You get introduced to the bus driver who will make a return later in the film with his little "What the hell's going on" line. He gets theater quality acting. Oh, you think your grandma knows about the stuff that happened down here, Mr. Bradley Brown?
No, I don't think so. She's only lived here all of her life.
Oh, heh, heh, heh. That's just bad.
I'm trying to open this full can of laughter over here. I'm having a real hard time.
Oh, thanks. We get introduced to fake-ass Patrick Sleazy and the town hobo as they trade dusty-ass eggs, a.k.a. the Krite eggs, for booze. What type of booze in particular?
Oh, let me tell you. Beer. The best beer that you'll ever beer in your entire beer.
Well, he ain't got no Monster Brow.
Monster Brow. There it is. So this guy trades a bunch of creepy, weird, dusty eggs for a six-pack of Monster Brow.
Two cases.
Ah. When he goes to redeem his six-pack of Monster Brow, he finds out they don't have Monster Brow. He is upset, so he takes two cases and some Playboys.
That's
very true.
Next thing we get is Fitness Granny. Sweating to the oldies with a bunch of kids. Lynn Shay of Insidious fame, but I remember her best as the overbearing mom in Detroit Rock City.
Absolutely.
That's a good reference. I like that.
Give me back my fucking drumsticks. That's where she's from. She is indoctrinating the children about colon health and the vegetarian agenda.
Oh yes, absolutely. As you get older, you can't be eating all the meat you do as a child.
It just sits in your colon and rots.
But anyways, that older lady goes to that fellow that got the beer taken from him. I think she was trying to like sell him something or something?
No, he told her, because every year they do the Easter pageant and they hide eggs. So he told her he had some imported rare eggs from Europe.
Oh yeah.
With a big on the P. Mm-hmm. Europe.
And that's gotta be fancy.
Emphasis on the P, guaranteed.
Exactly. After that, next we're introduced to Har, the sheriff, whenever the local newspaper sleuth lady finds out that Bradley Brown is back in town. She runs over and tries to get the scoop of what happened years prior with the space-invading animals.
And these little critters that no one's allowed to talk about. The critters who shall not be named.
So, Har has lines that are just beyond amazing. Just, this town voted me out in a landslide. This town could kiss my ass.
This man is my spirit animal because he's just full of just spite and hoagies.
He's believable and funny in the most down-to-earth way. This character really sells, I'm an embittered sheriff. Fuck you all. So the eggs are then given to the elderly lady, mm-hmm. who takes them, and they give one to that little girl. I guess she's like the niece or of Bradley Brown. And
that's what I mean.
She's walking up the stairs with the little egg, and she puts it down, and we're just going to wait and see what happens with that. But, of course, it hatches. This unbelievably adorable scene of that little critter egg hatching and the little baby critter attacking in POV view the animals and the little stuffed toys underneath the bed is stupid cute.
While her little fingers just dangle off the bed, just teasing us.
That little bit of drum in there really gets you going. You know, a couple seconds later, her dad comes back and he's like, what are you doing still awake and whatever, and as he's stomping in the room, he accidentally squishes that little guy.
Yeah. Next we get the hungry heifer, where you get introduced to the hungry heifer. We don't feed you no steer.
Yeah, if you're listening to this right now, it's probably in the background somewhere.
They've got this cashier guy that is the white Urkel. 100% that's what this guy is, and that's just what he's doing.
That's correct.
Is that what you wrote as well?
No, I was just picturing like a white Urkel.
Yep, that's white Urkel, and you just shut down. Yeah. We get introduced to this cashier guy who is basically the equivalent of the white Urkel. The guy looks ridiculous. His voice is three pitches too high. His look is that of just your stereotypical classic 80s nerd.
Yeah.
This guy's one pocket protector away from being in Revenge of the Nerds. So Patrick Sleazy comes in and starts hitting on the other person that works there, the female.
Megan.
Yeah,
Megan.
So Patrick Sleazy comes in and starts hitting on Megan, the love interest of the film, and Ginger Brown, aka Brad Brown, decides that he's going to rescue this lady from this guy's super, super aggressive advances.
Yeah, he's obviously the teenage badass of the neighborhood.
Yeah, but he looks like a complete dork, the kind of guy that gets punched himself.
Yeah, like Roger Klotz from Doug. That's the equivalent.
Yeah, you're right. Macklemore.
Oh.
But apparently he's learned Kung Fu over the past 2 years, and he tried to throw down some, like, karate to defuse the situation.
And his shoes get a little sneaker squeak. And somehow we cut to a scene of Brad Brown being tossed out the swinging front doors of the Hungry Heifer.
Just full-on flung.
Just...
absolutely.
Jazzy Jeff leaving the mansion in Bel Air.
Oh!
He's just going. And Megan pulls up in a truck. How did she go from being inside in a uniform,
right,
to outside in a truck, driving full speed in a different outfit, to rescue Brad Brown?
Oh, this guy's here. That means I gotta leave and get in my truck, because something's about to happen.
She herself's probably not human. Hint, hint.
She is, in fact, the Krite.
For our second installment in the Critters six-pack, I think the next one that we're going to go with is the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Now, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is an absolute American classic. It's been called the most important beer in American history. It's the godfather of American craft beer.
I hope this tastes like freedom.
Just smelling it, it reminds me of the other beer. But hey, who am I? A
little bit of sweet, caramelly toastiness.
Hmm.
But you've still got...
better than the other.
You've got more of a hoppy backbone that it rests on.
I find it a little bit more bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, less enjoyable. I like the first one a little bit better by hair.
Really? You just want beer?
Yeah.
I'm a beer kind of guy.
Ha. Beer.
I think I prefer mine a bit more bitter. That bite at least gives me something to think about. Yeah,
absolutely.
I guess so.
Tremendously well balanced. There's a little bit of malty sweetness, and you've still got that hoppy, resiny little bite.
I feel like it's growing on me, though. Each little sip, it gets a little bit better.
Sorry.
So jumping back from that yummy, delicious Freedom Booze, we'll get to the scene where you see the rest of these eggs that weren't sold to Vegan Agenda Granny start to hatch because he put them next to a heater. He comes back to check on his puppy pup, the old pooch, and the hubcap full of man which he laid out for the dog to eat is now just ravaged, nummy numb, and there's blood on it, so whoever the hell was eating this cut themselves up. They went hard in the we pan over to see the hobo man who reminds me of like a used up Colin Farrell. He's just worried about his dog. He's like, oh, Poochie, or whatever your name was. You're unimportant, dog. As soon as you see it, you know it's a prop dog. So you're ready for something. You get 4 to 5 little boop, 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 boops of these critters popping up. It's your first real look at the critter, and they're not fully grown yet, but they're kind of big.
Mm.
And man, are they cute as hell. They're like, rah!
We're just nibbling on that carcass like they're on mommy's teeth.
So these creatures leap at him. They come rolling across. He gets up on a chair, tries to grab onto a ceiling rafter girder to pull himself up. And these creatures are leaping and biting. One takes off the front of his foot with beautiful little church white shoes.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he falls down to a grisly demise.
You glossed over a point that I didn't understand. These eggs are from space and they hatch when they're really warm, I suppose, but it's been well established that it's Easter time.
Yes.
Which takes place in the spring.
Correct.
Why do you have a heater on?
I find it brisk in the barn. It's very brisk. These people are completely justified in their heater use around loose, dry, flammable materials.
Where does this take place geographically? We know that Kansas City is up north, but geographically, where does this... I mean, maybe it's...
It's definitely
Grover's Bend.
Yeah, Grover's Bend.
Do we know the state?
It's just in the Midwest.
Is this Mexico?
Grover's Bend.
You just just walk over to the highway and just
look for the sign that says Grover's Bend. Come on, everybody knows where it's at. It's like Sesame Street. We get the look at these little creatures, the critters, and they are little kickballs covered in fur with row upon row of teeth, glowing red eyes, and the I want to speak to your manager haircut.
No, absolutely. But they look really good, even, 1998's not really, or 1988, excuse me, isn't quite that far back, but I love the little puppetry they had for all the little
100%.
Critters.
It makes you smile as this man is mangled. He's torn to bits, but you can't help but feel warm and fuzzy because these little adorable things are doing it.
Yeah, it's just like right under Gremlins, but way above Munchie.
What the hell is a Munchie?
So we get introduced to the new sheriff, I should say. He shows up to the church to be the Easter Bunny, while the churchgoers unknowingly hide critter eggs. Dun-dun-dun, that's the big twist. Instead of regular one, the pastor actually makes some sort of resurrection joke. He says to the people he's giving the sermon to, he goes, "And I see that Easter is a good day for you to have resurrected your church-going habits."
Oh, this guy, full of puns and Christ.
Yeah, he's got it. I enjoy those little dad jokes. The sheriff is out there, and he's trying to get his zipper up.
Oh, yeah, he just put the suit on, his crotch blew out.
Dude, so...
We've all been there.
Haven't we? He's undoing, or he's trying to zip up his trouser. This man is trying to zip up his pants, and goes, "What kind of Easter Bunny hops around with his Tehachapi hanging out?"
You know, you gotta be careful with your Tallahassee everywhere.
Just Tehachapi? That sold me. When he did that, I lost my shit.
Well, what happens to him?
Suddenly, dun-dun-dun, a bunch of critters.
A bunch of swole critters threw this grown-ass man through a church window.
They get him in the dick.
They do. They leap inside of his suit and eat him alive. The Easter Bunny sheriff then somehow makes it 7 foot in the air and comes cascading, critterless mind you, through this window, sprawling out in front of all of the town to see. They react, freak out. It's a really good scene and it's fun to see. And then even when you get the with them talking about it, they try to say it's a farming accident.
Why would he be farming in the Easter Bunny suit?
Well, see, that's the great thing about the Midwest. As soon as something tragic happens, they immediately make it a conspiracy theory.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is straight critter denial.
Yeah.
I think there is a conspiracy here.
That's what we do in the Midwest. We cover things up.
Next, Bradley Brown and Megan go to tell Harv that the critters are back.
And this is probably the best part of the movie for me. It's just fantastic. He's just so sassy. He's had enough of this entire town. Voted him out of his sheriff position and just basically banished him to the outskirts of town.
He's sitting out there, and they tell him about the critters. And for this to be an older movie and this to be a smaller film, this has one of the most interesting takes on what this sheriff character can do. In a world of make-believe, in a world where everyone goes beyond the proper reaction, this man nails 110% exactly what any human being would do. They say, "Well, what are you going to do, Harv?" And he says,
"I'm going to do like any intelligent God-fearing Grover Benders would do. I'm hauling ass."
Driving away, they're like, "But the town needs a sheriff." He says, "If you need a sheriff, check the Yellow Pages." And for all you youngins, the Yellow Pages is like LinkedIn for old people. You get BDSM Charlie as he finds a playboy in his first moments on Earth. And we are introduced to
Lee.
Chameleon from the old early 90s Spider-Man cartoon. So this no-faced mutant man, Lee, transforms into the centerfold.
Centerfold so busty that he busted out of his outfit.
They really play that up too. There's a very, very cute little thing in there where Lee has copied this exactly from the magazine, staple and all, and he has to reach down and pop it out and throw it over. Then you get this busty blonde lady toting a motorcycle muffler gun going, "Kill more Krites." Anyone who hasn't seen this movie, that should be what gets you into this. Boom, tits and a gun and murder. Go.
In that order.
The stuff like this that I loved whenever I was growing up. It was so over the top, so fun, so easy to get into.
Oh yeah, muffler tits, super great.
You know what else is super great? This Dogfish Head Sequench Ale. It's a Goza-style session sour.
Ooh.
And I have a feeling these guys have never experienced a sour ale before that they're about to.
Yeah, I don't know what Gozer tastes like.
What's that movie?
Ghostbusters?
No.
Eric's face.
Never mind. Skip it. All right. So this is an ale brewed with, I'm not sure exactly which bacteria is in here.
That bacteria is straight up butthole.
They use a specific bacteria to make this sour. It's also brewed with lime juice and sea salt. It's definitely a pucker.
Oh, God.
It's the kind of thing you either love or hate.
I ain't gonna lie, it smells like shit, and it tastes really fun. Yeah. It's like, what the hell? Oh, I'm sitting here struggling to drink it, but I wanted to have another sip.
I think if you, in your mind, relate it to, like, a margarita rather than a beer.
Yeah, I gotta say, this is, so far, this is the critter that I enjoy the most. It's actually tasty. I will finish this one as I have not the other two.
Yeah, I mean, this beer can be like that town and kiss my ass.
So these critters are hatching all around town. They're running amok in just completely adorable ways. It's gremlins light. These guys are adorable. They're doing mischievous things.
They're running around like tumbleweeds.
They really are. Yeah. They even reference that by showing a tumbleweed, and then they show some critters roll by. These creatures are going crazy all over the town, and we get J. Jonah Jameson, who is Megan's dad. Mm. He's running the local Daily Bugle. He encounters a critter, and it cuts immediately after he's like, "What is this little thing in here?" to the bounty hunters and the hungry heifer. Still love that jingle. The critters have reached full size now. They are probably about 2 feet tallish.
Yeah.
When they roll up, they're about the same.
Yeah, because when they roll up, they're like basketballs.
Yeah. They're really cool looking. Like I said, they had that "I want to speak to your manager" haircut. They are tearing apart the hungry heifer in adorable ways. They're tossing salad bits. They're biting ketchup bottles. They're throwing each other on the grill.
They're just having a smorgasbord.
Just generally creating havoc.
It's mischief to the extreme. I don't think they've hurt anybody yet.
Well, they killed that one dude at the beginning.
Oh. Well, I mean, in the hungry heifer.
Oh.
It's like they just rolled in and started the party. So these little guys are in there. They're partying. They're tossing everything around. The bounty hunters come in with their motorcycle mufflers, and they shut the doors and they bar them. No one gets out of here.
They've got to erect their guns.
Yes.
Make sure they are fully engorged.
It's a choke. It's all head. So they take out their motorcycle muffler guns and they start shooting the critters. And these things explode. Just bloof.
It's like a water balloon. Just splat.
Exactly. They go everywhere. There's a scene where one gets just the top of his head shot close enough so it rips the hair off. And he turns around, looks in the reflection and goes, which is then translated to bitchin'. So apparently he likes his new haircut. That's moments before he is blasted directly into the deep fryer.
I bet that little guy's delicious.
You know, there would probably be a market for that. Like critter bits or something?
Yeah, bitchin' critters, right on.
Yeah. So the critters somehow band together in a larger ball that breaks out of the door and they kick off rolling. J. Jonah Jameson has barricaded his office. The critter is trying to get to him whenever Bradley Brown and Megan arrive to get him safely out of town. He catches a dart from these critters' backs. They bend over and doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yep, caught it right in the neck, took one for the team.
This thing has amazing aim with its head looking at its scrotum. Just nailed him right before he gets, I suppose, tranquilized and passes out, wakes up in the local church hideout. They have all gone to the church.
I was wondering about that. Are those things poisonous? What's the...
I don't know. It makes you think of that thing from Jumanji, how totally I killed that little girl or whatever with the little punji stick that I shot at.
Oh, yeah. So the poisonous now critters have made everyone hold up in the local church. And we get a scene of some of the characters trying to leave. And the gremlins, critters, block the road like in Tremors. So the Tremors... whoops. The critters...
the munchies.
The gremlins?
Now you just confused me. Thanks, Dogfish Ale. Num, 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 num.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I hate it.
Church hideout. The gremlins, critters, are tearing up the town while we get a scene of, for whatever reason, Playboy Playmate Lee transforming into Pee Wee Urkel.
Still have no idea why that happened.
He has no reason to transform.
They had an extra $25 on the effects budget.
Perhaps. We start to see them roam around the town, the bounty hunters that is, roam around the town to try to hunt these critters down. This town is like a backlot set.
Yeah, it looks like it's just a set. There's like four main buildings all connected together, and as soon as the roads go off into the distance, they immediately end.
Yeah, just...
well, that's small town America for you.
So then we find Lee just a moment later. There he is, transforming yet again. This time, away from Pee Wee Urkel, into...
Robert E.
A.K.A. the Freddy Kruegers. So, Charlie sees this and does not like it. He's like, oh no, don't turn into Freddy Krueger, this basically unkillable Superman thing.
That's scary.
Instead, transform back into this Playboy Playmate. And this is where I want to reference that this magazine has showed up in the film 5 times by this time. They are really pushing this magazine.
Oh, absolutely.
You think they were sponsored?
They got that hefty.
I wish we were. So, turns into Freddy Krueger, but Charlie instead shows him the Playboy Playmate centerfold.
Yeah, there's nothing hot about Robert E.
No.
No matter what the internet says.
No. So,
don't kink shame me.
So, he gets him to transform back into this Playboy Playmate. Whenever he transforms back into this Playboy Playmate, I really started to think about something, because the scene coming up where the Playmate, Lee, goes into the alley, tries to kill some critters. Uh-oh, spoiler, is in fact killed by the critter. Had he been Robert Englund's size? Had he been Urkel size? Now, mind you, he looked like Pee-wee Urkel, but he was still bigger than this Playboy Playmate. Had Lee been that size, could he have possibly defended himself better against these crites? And if so, did Charlie cause Lee to get killed?
He'd probably do a lot better against him if he had fucking knives or fingers.
Yeah, true.
There you go.
Because, I mean, you gotta think, he transformed into a lady who's just wearing, like, hug boots to fight these creatures that want to eat you. We then get Ugg finding the remains of Lee. And whenever he finds Lee, he freaks out and he goes from this rock star,
he's like an off-brand Tim Curry.
Tim Curry is exactly who I wrote down.
Nice.
I'm glad that was a Daily Double.
Ugg transforms back into a no-face creature. These no-face creatures, if you need to picture, it's like Slender Man with a kink. So, like that. No. We then get this treat of a scene where this little girl opens the door while a man is outside on guard. He's got a shotgun. One of the few people in this town, apparently, that owns a firearm. So he's holding this gun, and these critters kill him because he's distracted by this little girl sitting in the doorway on a tricycle. Like, what the hell is she doing?
For some reason, I got, like, flashbacks to The Shining.
Yes! And then it cuts back inside where you hear screaming from outside. Cut to Bradley Brown running outside to see this little girl trying to escape on a tricycle.
Absolutely.
She's just barely pedaling this little thing. It's just struggling. And the critters are just coming right up after her, and Bradley Brown grabs a baseball bat, and he can repel them away by whacking them with a baseball bat.
Just whap them with a Louisville Slugger.
And then he has to jump on her and save her after she wrecks the tricycle, and oh no, everything's all said and done for Brad Brown and the little girl. It's a wrap.
They're about to bite it.
So right before they get chomped by the critters, Doc Holliday just tapped.
Good old Hog back in town. Those two little six shooters.
They were like, we need a new sheriff. He's like, say when.
I'm your Huckleberry.
That wasn't sleazy enough. You need to try again, sir. I didn't get Chubb.
Speaking of Chubb, what we have here is a fine beer by Oscar Blues. Their Scotch Ale called Old Chubb.
That looks really dark and chocolatey.
It's not so much chocolatey. You'll have the barley malt. You'll have it smoked, like a scotch.
Ooh, that's actually really good.
Now, I don't know the specific process that Oscar Blues goes through with this beer, but
it kind of reminds me of some sort of coffee drink.
I get that. Yeah. It has the same kind of feeling with the bitterness.
Sort of roasty and toasty.
Now, if I was a raging alcoholic, that's something I could wake up in the morning to. So this beer, I could say, I don't think it is as fun as the one before it, as Eric put it, the beer that can kiss his ass.
Yeah, this is very traditional tasting.
To me, this is coffee drinkish. I could probably drink this.
I like it.
There you have it.
So after Harv dusts those critters, they decide to go inside and come up with a plan. Harv party pops inside of the church, just wow, shoots the ceiling. Fuck it.
Yeah, one straight to him.
And they come up with a plan to blow up the critters. Patrick Sleazy volunteers along with the rest of the Breakfast Club to run a suicide mission over at the Polar Burger.
Yeah, they I think it was good old Bradley had the idea of taking them all to the burger plant down the ways, get them all together, and just to blow the shit out of him with some TNT.
Which is conveniently readily available, I guess.
Well, back in the 80s, you can go to the store, you know, Reaganomics, and just get dynamite right off the shelf.
It was acceptable in the 80s. So they run into this hardware store. It's got pitchforks and, you know, random things like that, but also just loose on the shelf, within grabbing range, boxes and boxes of TNT. I would say it was Acme brand.
That's what you need in the Midwest, right? That's for farming and corn.
I like that. I was going more the line of we've seen explosives, we've seen food. Food and explosives commercial idea, voiced by Terry Crews. Polar Burger, it's a flavor explosion! Bounces his pecs, you know? The critters roll out, and a stray yells, wait up! And it's too freaking cute. So while they're over there setting up all the little TNT and the food to get these guys going, they got the big fans blowing the smell down the way. The critters are herding up the street. And as they go up the street, the townsfolk, I didn't really understand this. I guess just to see if the job was done right or whatever, they start going behind the critters with pitchforks and random things.
I think they just moved a little bit too fast and left most of them in the dust.
You think?
Yeah, because they had that moment where they kind of like went from a full run to a stop and they're just like, oh shit, they're going towards the middle of town.
Well, they're like, we gotta stay downwind of them.
Yeah,
but why follow them to begin with? The kids done did it. They got it. So these critters are rolling and the wind changes and it blows back. And this is where you think, of course, the biggest critter stands up and is like,
yeah, it's almost like he kind of sniffs them out because he notices something off to the edge.
Yeah. He's like, Mikara, which translates to
cheeseburgers.
Nice. And everyone's like, fuck it, let's go get some burgers. You know, they've had a hell of a night. They've been smoking. They're ready to go get some food.
There's no bones. We don't have to worry about it at all.
That is a great reference. There are no bones. So they roll out and they go to Polar Burger, where you get another scene of these adorable critters scatter all over the place, throwing loose beef patties into their mouths, nom 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 nom, just eating away. The guys are sitting outside with their classic plunger detonator TNT. They're like, we got him. Let's do it. Uh-oh, what's going on with that big critter? Well, guess what? It was he had transformed into the critter to make sure that the critters didn't turn around and eat the village folk.
What a twist.
What a twist. He walks out slowly? I don't understand. He transforms back into himself around the critters, which makes no sense. Yeah. He could have just left at any time. And one bites him, and then I think he gets darted.
Yeah, like it nibbles his foot, not necessarily through his
boot. BDSM gear is way tougher than Sunday slippers.
But he still like managed to have a limp as he was trying to get away.
Yeah.
It just magically disappeared in the next 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he was fine after that. They run out, they detonate, boom, there's an explosion. The whole place goes up. Beef patties go everywhere, and there's a burning shed. Very vivid. Cut to black in movie. JK. The front door explodes as a 15-foot-tall spherical ball rips out of there, and as it tears the metal, it's almost a sound like, Wine Stefano?
You're really forcing this.
Yes, I am.
Alright, well that's my cue to go on to the next beer. This is another Weinstephaner beer. This is their Hefeweiss beer, which is one of the most well-known beers, one of the most heralded beers on the planet. Now, this is a wheat beer. Most beers are made from entirely barley, if not a combination of barley and corn. Ooh. This uses a lot of wheat, which you get a lot of those fruity esters, banana and bubblegum notes.
I do get a little something fruity in there. It's not a good fruity. It's almost like an overripe fruity.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, hey, it's beer.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely something fruity in this room. I don't know if I hate it or not. That's my review.
That tastes like the ham glaze my mom makes. That's what it tastes like. Like I'm drinking ham glaze.
Like when you take a sip, it's immediately good, and then it just, like, punches you right in the nuts.
It's just, after having, like, the, even the old chub and the dogfish head, that thing, as soon as it hits me, I'm like, woof, I don't really care for it.
This is a lot more of a smooth drinker, where the old chub and the dogfish head, the sequench ale, more of a right-to-your-face kind of beer. You get a lot more action with those.
So, like I said, the giant critter ball rips free of this building, and it begins to make its way back towards the people. And the people are running in the field all of a sudden. They're like, oh no, let's run in a straight line away from this ball.
Now, mind you, when you see the ball, it looks like it's just big old ball.
Yeah, it's like a big old koosh ball.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool looking. It's every shade of brown you can imagine all tossed onto this 15-foot tall spherical ball.
It's Katamari.
Yeah, Katamari Damacy. So the ball goes rolling through the field and it runs over someone. And this is a beautiful scene.
Oh yeah, as it's passing by or passing over the guy, it's just like nibbling away. So that means when it passes over, he's just like a bloody, twitchy skeleton.
Yeah, so it rolls over the guy and it zooms in immediately as close as it can to the ball to show you that each of those different colors of brown is actually a different critter face that's going... it rolls away and there's just a bloody skeleton with like some red on it. It's quivering. It is played up pretty good.
It's like a rolling ball of piranhas.
Yes! This thing has rolled past the people, killed a few, is heading for town, and they have no way to stop it, except for these young, spunky teens and their pickup truck.
Yeah, just a bunch of kids and one has a mullet.
The mullet is necessary. It's not an 80s movie without it. So they're ripping back to town to save the church from this giant ball of critters. They start ramming into the side of it, and these little mouths, every time it zooms in, they're like, ah! And they rip off the car door, or I should say truck door. And the Megan character is yelling at Brad to do something, and what's he going to do? Stick his foot in that thing's mouth?
Well, he's supposed to be the hero, so she's like, well, hero.
She's the one driving the truck. Because I guess Brad Brown ain't got his license. The big critter ball keeps hitting and ramming until finally the truck flips. When it wrecks, you get a treat there for just a moment. Because you're like, oh man, you know, the critter ball is going to succeed. It's going to screw everybody up. Nope. They knock it off kilter enough that it's spinning and it's curving. The scene looks really cool, and I was wondering if they really used
a giant ball. Yeah, the whole time I was watching that, I was just like, how do they do that?
Yeah, but it could have been a full-size thing because they use it in the scenes, you know, no CG with the truck, and it's just as big as the truck.
Yeah.
So I would really be curious. I should have actually probably looked that up. But the ball begins to circle back around. And as it comes rolling back in for the final charge, since no one else can save it.
It's going straight for the church, because they know where that is.
Cut to Charlie. He's so goofy, and he's up there, and he goes, I'm a bounty hunter! And he crashes his spaceship into this ball of rights.
Yeah, you know, like definitely Dennis Quaid style.
Oh, absolutely.
Independence Day. I'm bad.
Boosh. We know where they get their material from. Stolen right from Critters. So... you get a scene where there's the ball rolling and the spaceship coming in, and right before they collide, both the ball and the spaceship disappear for just a split second, and you see an explosion. So,
well, you see, the spaceship was just so damn fast it disintegrated everything instantly on impact.
110%.
Science.
The town has been saved. Everyone's hoorah and hooray, and Charlie has sacrificed himself for the greater good. Now we got Brad Brown the next day getting on the bus with his new girlfriend, love interest. Harv's there. Ugg's there.
Harv in his wonderful Hawaiian shirt.
And guess who else is there? That's Charlie. Here he comes running down the street with his parachute hanging out. Guess what? He ejected. But it took him the entire night to get into town, even though he ejected in town. So we're just going to say that when he ejected, he was knocked unconscious.
Well, maybe he got shot, 10 miles away, and he's not a very fast walker.
Yeah, he probably launched himself into the next town. Probably onto the set of, like, Smoking the Bandit or something.
Just a good old... Oh, wait, no, we're almost... Eastbound and down. There we go. Charlie gets handed the sheriff's badge to become the new sheriff, because Charlie's done being a bounty hunter, but he wants to be a cop, because killing critters in the most awkward fashion that you can come up with is...
That gets you a gun and a badge.
Police material.
Can we talk about how much of a cock blocker everybody in this town is? All the kid wants is a kiss.
For reals, though.
Oh, absolutely. Even the first time that he met Megan back in the church, her dad was there and totally got cross-blocked right in the church.
Oh, yeah. When he leans forward, he's like, nope.
Yeah.
You looking at my daughter? I don't think so.
Ew.
All right, so our last beer for the evening is Westmalle's Double. Now, for those that don't know, Westmalle is one of the 6 or 7 or 8, who knows how many Trappist breweries there are in the world now, but it's one of them. This is one of the most well-known.
Well, this didn't smell as bad as the last one.
Oh, that's the delicious flavor just coming right back at me and giving me a stroke.
Now, Westmallow's Triple is actually known to be among the best beers in the world for decades, centuries even. This is their step down from that. This is their double.
Okay, well, it's not bad. Westmallow, you have fairly impressed me with your dark beer.
It's fine.
Just wrapping critters with the ending you don't care about, the plot you don't care about. It's all about seeing these furry little things roll around, cause adorable mischief while they murder people.
Yeah, absolutely. What you watch this movie for is just to have a no-brainer good time.
Just watching the bloody teeth for 75 minutes.
Yeah, just having a munch.
Yeah, a little nosh.
Kevin Nosh. I don't know.
Kevin Nosh. Like we were saying, it's one of those things to where you watch it, it's just fun. If Gremlins was more visceral and just showed you what these little creatures could do if they went bananas.
Oh yeah, and definitely more campy too, because this movie's hilarious. It's just, it doesn't take itself an ounce of seriousness.
It's Gremlins, it's Killer Clowns from Outer Space, it's Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, there you go.
It's all of those things.
All of those things, all of this beer that we've poured in the waste cup that I will now sample.
Oh man, you hero.
Braver than I am.
In all honesty, it's better than all the beers. So, I shit you not.
So how would you rate Waste Cup?
I would rather drink the Waste Cup than any of these single beers.
You are absolutely correct. That is absolutely fine.
That is good, actually.
As a beer guy, let me try this out. It's fine.
So Critters 2, the main course, it's not the best movie in the world. It's just a lot of campy fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, don't take this movie seriously. It flies by in a flash. It's, 80 minutes? Just let it do its thing and sit back and relax.
It's not the main course, but it's an action-y snack.
Ooh, fantastic. So there we have it. That's the episode for tonight. I want to thank everybody for watching.
Follow and like us out there on the Facebook and the Twitters.
On Twitter, we are Beards Brews Cast, and thanks for listening. Like and subscribe, and keep listening.
That's gotta stay.